The Movie Show on XFM.
Yeah.
What's up? This is The Movie Show
on Active FM.
I'm Sash.
And my name is Ryan.
And today we are continuing with Netflix Month.
Another Woo-hoo! Netflix movie.
Yes.
Original.
Yes, Netflix original movie.
Are you guys ready for it?
Yes.
Here it comes. Bah!
So this is our third film for Netflix Month. And we, if you don't know, we have been, because in my personal opinion, have always thought that Netflix original movies have not been good just because of experiences that I've had. And so what we decided was we found this YouTube video on videos or movies that were actually good. So we decided, you know what, let's start taking a look at them and actually seeing if they are good. And so far, we found...
Okay. One good movie.
Yes, one good movie. I was going to say Ryan liked the first one. For me, I didn't like the storyline. I thought the storyline was a little bit too dark and deathy because the whole thing was about death. But then the second one was very good. So go check out the previous shows.
For those who have been following along with us, you know exactly what we're talking about.
But today we're actually doing one of Netflix's interactive films. So if you don't know what an interactive film is, literally, that's exactly what it is. So you make choices and you determine where the story's gonna go. So obviously there is a set like timeline, and based on the decisions you make, that will lead to a certain place. But you can decide what decisions the main character is going to make, which will then actually determine which ending you get. So this film has quite a couple of endings that you possibly could get. There's like five main endings that you could get, and then there's other ones, and there's even a secret ending, but that's basically what the whole film is about. And I know there are a couple of ones, so I know apparently there's also one on Netflix, there's an interactive film about Minecraft. We haven't watched that one. The one we watched is called Bandersnatch. Yes, Bandersnatch.
So, according to Wikipedia, the director who directed a couple other films that we're well known of. So, the director is Slad. He also directed movies like Hannibal, Breaking Bad, movies like that. Now, am I right? Okay, the director's approached about movies, am I right? By the producer.
Depends.
Yeah, it does depend, right? That was also my thought. So Netflix approached him about making an interactive film. You know, I was actually reading, like, it's the synopsis, right? And how do you write a synopsis about a film like this? The only thing you can write is the beginning, because everybody gets different endings.
Yeah.
And I know Sashi did it as well. I also did it. After the movie, okay, I explored. So I got to my ending. I was like, okay, cool. And then I explored to try and get as many endings as I can. Then after that, I jumped onto YouTube and then I watched all the different endings. So in the synopsis, you can only write the beginning, the idea. There's a guy and he's a programmer. And so he bumps into so-and-so and so-and-so, and he has difficult choices to make in life.
Yes.
And no ending. Or journey with us as we... watch what the story will bring us. The end.
It was...
And some of the endings happen very quickly.
Yes.
So there's some endings, you're like, the first 30 minutes of the film, you're like, okay, I guess that's it. And I think that's where you're like, okay, wait, let me go back. Let me make a different choice. So it's very interesting.
Yeah.
Very
interesting. And you do get the chance to go back and make different choices.
Yes, you do.
As the story follows through. So this film was actually based on a real unreleased 80s game, video game, because that's what the whole movie's about. It's about this young teenager who is trying to create a video game in the 80s about... the video game is called Bandersnatch, which is actually based on a book. Now, Bandersnatch was loosely based on a real-life video game that was never actually released, which was also called Bandersnatch. The unreleased game was created by a British video games developer from Liverpool called Imagine Software. Their downfall was financial trouble after taking on a couple big projects. One of these projects was Bandersnatch. Yeah, so this is actually like based on a true life story where they did actually try to create this video game. And this film was also actually set in the UK. So it was a lot of British accents.
That's why the British,
yes,
yeah.
Hence the British accents. And it was also filmed in London. So it was very cool, man. Yeah. But it was very interesting. I don't know if you know this, but so this film obviously has a whole lot of different endings. So based on what you choose, you'll then go to the different choices, which means there's no set storyline. It's not like a usual film where this is the storyline. And how they actually wrote the scripts for this film was they wrote it on a software called Twine. Now, Twine is a software for writers who want to create a non-linear story based on alternate universes and choices. This software, this actual Twine software, is also very popular for video game writers. The software is free, but does take a while to learn since the writing alone can get complicated. And the creators eventually switched from Twine to Branch Manager because it got so complicated. And which was created by Netflix, Branch Manager. According to Wired, Branch Manager would sometimes crash due to how complicated the script was, so the software constantly had to be debugged. Imagine that. I would be so frustrated as a script writer, because as a script writer, I use a software called Celtix. It's an online software. You can use the free version of it, but then there is also like a premium version where you get more like features available. But there are sometimes, like I remember the beginning of the year, where me and my group of script writers, we couldn't get into Celtics. Like, it literally wasn't allowing us in. And it is the most frustrating thing as a script writer when you can't get to your script because you've got deadlines, etc., right, etc. You've got to plan filming and stuff.
And it's so, not like you can write frustrated, right?
No, you can't. So that was quite frustrating. So shame for these script writers. That must have been great. They must have had like one hectic whiteboard like up somewhere, because the different, like, the alternate options that you could choose. And I don't know if you know this, but Bandersnatch has a total of 250 segments, right?
What?
So based on your choices in the movie, you'll see different segments. So if you say yes, you'll see something, and if you say no, you'll see something else. So obviously now, depending on whatever choice you make, you'll see a different segment. These can be small, small differences, such as the protagonist eating a different cereal. So that's your first choice in the movie, is what cereal the character eats, or choosing to listen to a different song. Or it can be a huge special segment, such as the protagonist dueling his therapist in combat, or murdering his father. So there's different segments, a whole lot of different segments. These 250 segments of story were laid out in a 170-page script. That is a lot. Let me give you context. So we're currently working on a film. The script came to 97 pages. No, I'm lying. It was 97 scenes, which is roughly... So that what they say basically is work on a minute per page. That's roughly what they say. So in other words, in a normal 2-hour film, you're working on 120 pages, right? Now this script came to 170 pages, which means you're working on 170 minutes. And that's often, you can go over, because sometimes the page doesn't work out to be a minute. It can go slightly over, which is 170 minutes, which is what? 6, 12, 8, it's nearly 3 hours. That's like 3 hours.
470 pages.
Yes, 470 pages. Yeah. So imagine looking at all these segments created by choices in a flowchart. That must have been so overwhelming for like, because... Think about it. You've got it. So there's a choice, right? Now, this simple choice in the beginning of the film, he chooses what cereal. So now you've got to film a scene of him eating the one cereal. Then you've got to film a scene of him eating another cereal.
Yeah.
Then you've got to edit the one cereal. And now you've got to edit the other cereal. And then now you've got to work out, like, and that's just cereal. That's just cereal.
Mapping the whole movie together.
That must have been crazy. Oh my goodness.
I wonder how many times they... Can you imagine the checking process? Because I don't know if if you've ever worked on an Adobe software called Encore, it's a DVD authoring software. You know when you put your if you know DVD, do you remember DVDs?
I remember DVDs, right, yes.
Digital video disc. It was the hit of the 90s.
Right.
Seriously, it was. And you could put the disc in and you can add different things in. It's got menus. So you basically have choice of playing a movie, but then you can add in bonus material, or you can add in scenes, or you can add in music videos for your artists. So there's choice versus a traditional VHS cassette for those, you know, for anyone who remembers the VHS cassette. If you have a tape, even a cassette today, people are like, what's that? I mean, we had a cassette and someone was like, what's that? And I was like, what? You don't know what this is.
Maybe what's that?
Where DVD, a cassette you put in, you have to push play, that's it. But a DVD, you know, you got play or scene selection and stuff like that. And if you've ever worked in authoring a DVD together, okay, it can get extremely tricky. Every time that you connect something together or you plug something in, okay, if they select this, then this must happen. Then in there, they must have the option to come back, or they must have the option to go there, or, you know, you have to build a whole map. Literally, before you even start, you get down a pen and paper and you got to do it. So these guys, and it's the first thing I thought of, I can imagine them sitting there and working out. They must have had a massive board that covered an entire room, one room wall, okay. In fact, if you've ever watched, let me go over the top, right? If you've watched Stranger Things, I think it's in season 2 where they work out a whole tunnel system.
Yeah.
Okay, I won't get in detail about that. But the office must have looked as
like
crazy
that.
As that. Now, they would have the person doing the work would have connected everything together. They most probably would have then sat there. They would have had to render this thing, or it probably runs off a simple program, and they're going through each one. Okay, no, that's wrong. Okay, let's go back. Okay, start from the top again. Let's check. Let's make sure. Flip. Okay, that thing over there. Okay, no, that doesn't work. Go back, fix it. Okay, let's go back. Let's sit down, check again. I think they were brave. Like, honestly,
sure.
That's the first thing I thought. I was just like, these guys were brave to do this.
Yeah.
This is cool because everything's got to match up. It's got to make sense, you know. And it was, I mean, exactly for like, what was his name? Wasn't Colin?
Yeah.
It was the other guy.
Stefan, yeah.
That's right, Stefan. So you can imagine, like, even for him creating the game, and he had to, I'm sure they understood his.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like I said, this wasn't the first interactive film Netflix did, however, it was the first film for adults. So, previously, what they had done is they did a film on Puss in Boots called Trapped in an Epic Tale. And then there was also another one called Buddy Thunderstruck, The Maybe Pile. So, those were more like kids' films. And also, like, Puss in Boots had two endings and 13 different storyline choices. So, you could choose. But there were only two endings. Whereas with this one, so they've said that there are, I think, about five like definite endings. Or the problem with this film is there's so many options to go out of this movie. Like, literally, you can go out in the first, what was it, like 5 minutes of the film, because with one of the choices, so spoiler alert, if he takes the job offer and accepts it, he basically, you jump to the end where his video game gets a score of 2.5, and basically that's it. Like, that's the first ending.
I sort of saw that as, okay, wrong choice, because Colin, his work buddy, still says before the interview even ends, he taps him on the shoulder and he says, wrong path, my friend. So the way that I saw that, I didn't really see that as any. I just sort of saw that as a redirect to...
They do classify it as one of the endings because they're like saying you got to the... That's the end of the story. Yeah. Like so that's how they classify endings is, you know, yeah.
Wikipedia says that the the shortest ending, to get to the ending in the shortest time, they say about 40 minutes, but that wasn't 40 minutes.
No, that was
it,
like,
was a lot shorter.
So there, yeah, there they don't give you, so what they do is they, at times they give you the option, so if you get to an ending, they'll give you the option to exit to credits.
Yes.
And then that's kind of like, okay,
I got that,
yes,
yeah.
So the first time I got that, I didn't exit to credits. So at that point in the film, they didn't give you the option to exit to the credits. So yeah, you would still carry on watching.
They tell you, do you want to go back and, yes, change your choice?
Well, yes.
Not in those words, but they say...
You basically can.
I know the one that I got to most common was, what? Get Rabbit back from Dad.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, let's go back. Let's go get the rabbit. And then I think I got to an ending, like the credits, everything. It was the ending where he dies with his mom. Spoiler alert. Or maybe I should have said spoiler alert before I told you the end. But so I got to that ending and I was like, okay, cool, let me go explore other endings. So then I went and explored other endings and I got the choice, Get Rabbit from Dad or Exit to Credits. I was like, okay, Get Rabbit from... And then I watched the ending of that one. And then I think that the way that I chose different, I got back to that again. And I was just curious. I was like, okay, let me see if something... there might be a slight twist,
yeah,
if I go back again. I went back, exactly the same thing happened. So I was like, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
So with so many branches and segments involved, some of the creators are actually not even sure how to access some of the possible scenes. So that's, so like you said, there's different ways to get to different, yeah, segments. So it's not all one route. So there's like, there's so many different, this is basically like, yeah, a maze.
It
actually
is a maze.
It's,
yeah,
like a whole big maze that yeah, you can obviously get back to certain parts. Apparently, some of the paths they created are so narrow that the creators believe they will never be accessed. So people will never get to that version of the story. Director David Slade even mentioned that there is a scene he remembers filming that they themselves cannot figure out how to access. So literally, like, they could put up a competition of access the scene where and like see who's able to access it.
You know what this makes me want to do? It makes me want to get 5 people who have Netflix, choose a movie,
yeah,
and then run a competition and say, okay guys, this is what we're gonna do. How many? Let's see who can get to the most endings, and then the we'll get together again the next day or whatever. We'll discuss. We'll see who got the most endings. And then whoever gets the most endings, whatever, they get a chocolate.
Right.
Or something.
But get this, there was even a disagreement among the Bandersnatch team as to how many endings there are. As we've written previously, this is the article I'm reading, producer Annabelle Jones thinks the film has 5 definite endings, while producer and writer Charlie Brooker has said on more, and producer Russell McLean believes that there are up to 10 or even 12. Endings, so it's crazy.
For me, the more endings are better. See, I like it has to be this way. There has to be a lot of endings.
Yeah.
The reason why, because if there's only like 3 endings to get to, then it's gonna be boring, right? It's gonna be dull. I even found myself like I said, after the movie, trying to find as many endings
as
possible. Yeah, and trying to just be curious. The only thing that I didn't want to do is I didn't want to kill Colin's girlfriend.
Oh, I never got to that ending.
I got to there and it was like, tell her you don't know or what? Tell her he jumped. Yes, tell her he jumped. And I was just like, I am not going that way. I'm definitely not going that route. That's like, yeah, that's just weird. But I found myself stuck he goes to jail. Or I can't remember the other one. I found myself constantly stuck between. In fact, I still try to, in my head, try to, you know, when you like sit down, you're like, okay, wait, so what is the story? Because
yeah,
this guy is either psychotic and he's imagining things.
Yeah.
In fact, there was the one part where it said, tell him about Netflix. And I told him about Netflix and he was freaking out. And I was like, okay, obviously he's going to freak out. Okay, let me not do that again.
Yeah.
You understand? So it is. It's very interactive.
It's
very cool. When I watched it, I connected my Mac to my big screen because you have to watch it on a device, on an interactive device.
Yeah.
The first time I tried to just play it through my Chromecast and it said you can't play it on your Chromecast. You must play it on a device. So I connected my Mac to the screen and I had my Mac close to me. so that I was able to sort of lean forward. And I suppose if you get a wireless mouse type of thing. And it wasn't like a constant choose, because I thought to myself, is this going to be like a game where I have to sit and constantly
choose?
My hands have to be on the keyboard. No, it was you watch for a while. And also I did it when I could pay attention.
Yeah.
Because I knew if I'm not going to pay attention, I'm not going to really get into the whole thing.
I must be honest, I found it quite stressful. Because you presented with two choices, but you don't actually know what's going to happen. Yeah. So you like, what do I, if I don't know. And then and then also they're brilliant with their scripts. So like there's this one part with the therapist. So he goes to see his therapist and the therapist says to him, I think we should talk about what happened to your mom.
What did you choose?
I chose no.
Me too.
And then she kept, you even get a second choice.
Are you sure?
And
the
therapist literally kept saying, she said these words, you might find out something about yourself that you don't know.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, they're just feeding me and making me want to choose yes, exactly. But I don't want to choose yet. And then eventually you go back. And then you do choose yes. But the way that, like, your emotions are pulled, and it was straight. Like, I didn't want to kill the dad, and I was like, this guy is going to murder his father, and I don't want to murder his father. So, like, you keep, like, the choices that you make. It was almost like stressful. And I must be honest, I got to the first ending I got to, I was like, no, this is horrible. But I wanted to exit to credits because I was like, this is too stressful. But I didn't, because I thought, no, let me keep going.
Explore.
And then when I got to the second ending, and we can maybe say what, like, the ending that we got to, though, like the first time ending. But I was actually happy with that ending, and then I, like, exited. I was like, no, I'm fine. I'm not even going back. And then afterwards, I went and looked at the other endings, and I was like, yeah, no, I'm happy with my ending. But it was stressful.
My wife was sitting with me, and I had the option: pour the tea over the computer or yell at your dad.
I chose pour the tea.
My wife was sitting next to me, and I was like, okay, yell it. Because I was like, no, you can't destroy the machine, dude. You got an opportunity here. So I'm making choices based on what I would do. Shame, this sounds bad. Anyway, so then I chose yell at dad. So he yells at his dad, but he swears at his dad.
Yeah, he does.
And my wife just looks at me, and she's like, well done. She gets up, and she walks off. She went to bed. And I sat there, I'm like, should I have not yelled?
No, but you know, I did. So I didn't want to yell at the dad. So I did pour the tea. But then it ends. So that's one of the ends. Because obviously now if you pour the tea, his work
machine's
stuffed.
Machine's finished.
Yeah. That's the end. So then they then took me back and said, they gave me either a choice of yell at my dad, or there was something else. I can't remember where else they would have taken me back to. But then I chose to, I was like, fine, yelled at the dad. It was like, really? Did you seriously have to swear at him?
Wow.
And then, But now get this whole film. So this whole film, the whole 250 segments of this film was shot in 7 weeks.
Seven
weeks. And that is a very short time to film a movie. Most normal movies take that time or more to get filmed. But Bandersnatch managed the feat. Actor Will Poulter, who plays Colin, who also acted in The Maze Runner, revealed...
The minute I saw him, I was like, look.
Revealed a lot of what the filming process was like in an interview with Radio Times. And he said, we were getting through so much stuff that often there wasn't time to stop and think. He also mentioned the uniqueness of filming a movie where his character had different paths in the same scene. So you'll say something, this is him speaking, and then there'll be a pause and the camera keeps rolling, and then you'll say something else, and then the camera keeps rolling, and you say a third option and the camera keeps rolling, and that's because you're accommodating all the different choices.
So is that how they did it?
That's how they did it.
They just rolled in yet.
But that actually makes sense because then it's not, okay, we've got to film this scene three times. It's now, let's just... But that's crazy. 7 weeks is short. Yeah. It's very short.
Well, if you think about it, the story is very basic. It's very, very basic. I mean, I even thought about, okay, wait, how many days did this... what was the time that actually passed over the film as well? And I know obviously it said 7 weeks later or whatever. Yeah. Or
a jump to Christmas
a month
when the
later.
Game was released.
Yeah. Even though it said that, if you look at it, I mean, So let's look at he woke up. He wakes up.
He goes to... He breakfast.
Yes, he has the breakfast.
He goes to the job offer.
The interview.
Yeah.
And then after that, he comes home.
He works. And then goes to the therapist.
And yes, that's right.
And then goes to Colin's house.
Yes.
And yeah. So it was actually simple. That, like, even the filming locations, there was... It was actually a simple... But they had to. Imagine, you kill yourself, man. Yeah.
But also what I watched was that, okay, depending, see, because the movie, when you watch the movie, it had to be extremely linear. So it had to be very smooth. Yeah. It had to flow. Mm. Otherwise, it would feel like a game. You know, there was no pausing or waiting. No. It was even while you're deciding on your choice.
And you only have 10 seconds to decide.
The footage is rolling. Yes. It's like, so which choice are you going to make?
And they're speaking. So
what choice are you going to make? Yeah. But then I watched, okay, the minute you make a choice, different camera angle. Choice made. Okay, if I choose the other one, different. Okay. So when the choice is made, there's a different camera angle to it. So obviously when they were filming the choices.
They filmed smart. Yes. Yeah. Now, there were some scenes that never actually made it to the final version.
What?
But that's like most films. Most films, there are scenes that are cut. Bandersnatch had to be edited down. Due to that, there are some endings and possibilities that people will never get to see. However, some of the ideas that didn't make it have been mentioned by the film's creators. One such idea involved, after you made Stefan kill his dad, when you choose cereal again, there's blood splatter across the choices. They also originally planned for you to have to memorize the therapist's phone number, like a difficult riddle you'd have to solve yourself in order to make the choice to call her. Yes, I also did that. Okay. However, they decided that would be too difficult for the viewer, so they included a flashback of the numbers instead.
I was hoping, what was it? 20141, I think it was.
Something like that. I wanted to put it a different number. I didn't. Did you? What happened?
Because the last two digits, I couldn't hear because he said the last two digits.
Yes, okay. Yeah.
And it was almost like a one. That's what I couldn't
understand.
So now the time's running out. So I was just like, and then I just chose two other digits.
And then you still got through.
No, I didn't go through. The phone was engaged.
Ah, that's cool. Yeah, so you obviously got the wrong number.
Or not engaged. It was like the number you've dialed does not exist.
I got through to her. Did you get through to the therapist secretary?
I had to go back. Yeah.
Okay, so this was my original, my ending, because I opted out. It was stressful. I was just like, this is a bit much now, hey, like seriously. So the ending that I got was Stefan. So the first ending I got was he kills his dad, and I was like, no, I didn't even choose for him to kill his dad. He just like did it. I was like, what is happening? And then he ends up basically
That's when he figures out that his dad's in that pack.
Yeah. Then he goes to prison, but he still only gets a 2.5 rating on the video game. Then it took me back, and instead of choosing, I then didn't choose the book, I chose the frame, and then I got the choice between, because the first time on the computer, the symbol, when you give him a sign, there was the pack, which
Netflix
was first time was the pack, and then there was that symbol that you saw, obviously, when they were doing the different like timelines, there was that one symbol, so I didn't choose that symbol, and that symbol, I think if you choose that symbol, you'll get to the point where he does kill his dad, and then if he kills his dad and chops him into pieces, he gets the 5-star ranking. But anyway, I chose Netflix, and then he goes to his therapist and now tells his therapist about the fact that I'm watching him on Netflix.
Yes.
And then you get the option where the therapist says to him, well, don't you think your life would be more entertaining if someone was watching you? So then she's like, well, let's have a fight. And then you can choose to either jump out the window or fight her. So I was like, no, I don't want to fight her. So I jumped out the window, which then brings you to a fourth wall break ending where basically literally it zooms out. You see the set. The director comes in, not the actual director as in an actress, but she's the director, and she's like, what are you doing? You're supposed to go into the fight sequence now. And he's so confused, and she's speaking to him, and eventually he's like, my name's Stefan. I think she's calling him Mark or something. And then that's how it ends, and I was like, yep, I'm happy, exit to credits, cool. That was stressful.
That
I'm glad
cool
he didn't
ending.
Kill anyone,
because
I didn't want him to kill someone. That was traumatizing for me. So that I got the Netflix ending, the fourth wall break Netflix ending.
I think that's the best ending.
Because
there's some sort of achievement in
it. Yes, it is.
For me, it was either kill dad. What was it? Kill dad. The first ending was my quickest one, which was the game sucked.
Yeah.
The second one I got to, I can't remember. You see, there's so many endings that I got to. But then the one ending I got to, which just didn't satisfy me, was that he went back in time and he got the rabbit back from his dad.
Yes.
But then his mom was still late.
Yes.
His mom was still late.
His mom was inevitably late.
Yes.
It didn't matter. Yeah.
I was like, but she's still late. And then he went on the train and then he died. And then it ends with his in his chair and he just
fades away.
And I was just like, that's not cool. But then eventually, yeah, I had to exit the credits. I had to, because I was just...
They say that, so the ending where he gets 5 stars, so he kills his dad, chops up his body, what the hell, and then gets enough time to finish the game. But then, and then the game gets released and it gets 5 stars. But then, however, it comes out that he kills his dad, so the game gets pulled off the shelves. But then years later, Colin's daughter, she is now grown up and she now starts taking interest in building up this game, and you can see she's going through the same frustration that he did. And then eventually you've got the choice for her to either throw tea on her computer or to keep going. And then
what happens if you keep going?
I don't know. I don't know. I think that's like the ending. But then there's an ending that you can actually get to. There's a secret passage where, or whatever, where you get to play that nosedive game that that Colin created.
Yes.
But it's a they. Yeah, I think you have to. I don't know.
You really got to know your way.
You've got to get your way there.
I know on the one YouTube channel, there's a guy who placed a link under his video that maps out the whole thing.
Oh, really?
That's so cool. Yeah, you must maybe check. Look, I'd want to check it out, but I think I'd want to try a different interactive game movie because
The storyline was whack.
I went to bed straight after this. Actually, can you imagine? You know that I still sat there. I'm like, what if in my dreams I like murder my wife or something
like that? I
was watching
it in the dark. That's why I was. I think I was freaking out as well because I'm like, I'm in the dark in my room and I'd like to sleep peacefully.
Did you do it
tonight
on your phone? You had to do it on your phone.
Yes, I did it on my phone. Yeah. That's why when I got my Netflix ending, I was like, ha, this is so nice. And then I went to sleep.
Especially as a director.
Yeah, no. And the swearing, he said the F word a couple of times, which is very unnecessary.
Instantly I was like, okay, volume down.
But the actor, the main actor, I couldn't put my finger on who he was.
He was very good, eh?
Do you know he was in Dunkirk? I clicked when I searched. I was like, oh yes. And he often plays these like estranged,
for real, eh?
Pulled back character. Yes, he was like the one of the main characters in Dunkirk. Yes.
I do reckon. I remember a young boy.
But he looked very, in this one, Shane, he looked very psychotic.
He was very good. And if I can just say, in terms of the grading and stuff like that, like you could see the detail in his face. It just creates this more like, okay, this is too close for comfort type of thing.
And then his dad, did you recognize his dad? His dad acted in Line of Duty.
Which one? The younger dad or the older dad?
What do you mean the younger?
There's a younger version.
Okay, no, I didn't see the older version.
Is it the same?
It's the same guy.
Same guy, they just...
Same guy, yeah.
Okay.
But he acted in Line of
What
Duty.
Is his name? It's one of the detectives on...
He was the mole in...
Yes, that's it.
I can't remember his name now, but he was the mole.
What was the main... What was the team he was on?
Sure, Line of Duty
They were part of the team.
Yes,
that team,
he got
right?
into the team, and then the whole time he was actually... So basically he was a cop that was raised up to be a mole.
So that was him.
So the whole point I was like, oh, it's that guy.
Yes,
I recognize him.
Cool.
So it was, and then obviously there was Colin's character, who's Will Poulter.
We know him.
Yes.
I was still... My wife was still like, why does he sound... Because he had this very like... I don't know, this high-pitched, the way he changes. I'm like, well, he's British. Maybe he's just talking in his native
normal
British sort of, I don't know.
He had to put on an American accent in Maze Runner. He also was in The Chronicles of Narnia.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
A very young boy.
Yes, he played Eustace.
This sort of chubby...
With these funny eyebrows. I always think he has the oddest experience. He like constantly looks like he's astonished. Cause
he must be young, right? To be in The Chronicles of Narnia as a very young boy.
Yeah, he started...
And now he's a lot
young.
Older, yes. Yeah. And obviously we saw him in Maze Runner as well.
Yeah. So it's a cool concept. I think this... I wasn't completely satisfied. I think they... But I wonder... If movies are going into interact, I personally do not want them to, because that would be very hectic in terms of a filmmaker.
Well, how does a movie grab a person's take them down a journey if they have to make the choices?
I suppose there's a genre for it. So I suppose there's movies and then there's interactive films. So it depends on, do you want
genre
to,
a section for it? I suppose if I'm bored, I'll definitely try another one.
Yeah, no, that was cool. I it was an experience.
Yes.
I enjoyed
the trailer looks... I wouldn't say it doesn't look anything like... I just didn't know it was psychotic from looking at the trailer.
Yeah, no, it is slightly psychotic. That's the problem.
Slightly.
It
was like
super weird. But that's my issue with Netflix movies. So this is, and I feel like it hasn't changed. This has been my issue with Netflix movies. There's something psycho about them. Something, it's like, it's not the usual, you know, it leaves you slightly disturbed after watching it.
Yeah.
That's my experience with Netflix original movies. I feel slightly disturbed after watching a Netflix original production.
Yes.
It
was the next day. My wife said, "I think we're canceling Netflix." And I was like, "Okay." It's just like every movie you watch either has some sort of sex scene in it, has swearing, or is just like freaking weird.
Yeah. So I'm not a fan of Netflix.
They are the good movies, but they're very far in between. And my wife said she found herself almost starting to channel surf, which was something that I didn't like while I enjoyed Netflix.
Yeah.
Because you weren't channel surfing.
Yeah.
Which we find with our televisions today, with our satellite televisions, you're going across, you surfing. So yeah, you're like, you know, a movie, you check the trailer. Okay, this is nice. Okay, watch. You know, there was a lot of good stuff. But the minute I heard that, I was like, red lights. I was just like, okay, we need to go somewhere else. We're getting too familiar. Yeah. You were what? You were surfing. You were channel. You were what? You were surfing.
That's hectic.
No, it's fine.
Yeah. So in other words, I still stand on my position of I'm not a big fan of Netflix original movies.
We've had one good movie so far.
We've had one good movie out of three. Yeah. Mm. So, yeah, that's it for the third movie of Netflix month. We will return next week.
I think it's our last one, isn't it?
It is our last one for February. Month. And I must be honest, I'm looking forward to watching non-Netflix movies. We've got a lot like Knives Out, Ford versus Ferrari. So I'm looking forward to those.
I'm looking forward to Ford versus Ferrari.
I'm looking forward to all of them.
Yes.
I've been wanting to watch them.
Yes. And we had someone who watched Knives. Have you watched Knives Out yet?
Not yet.
We had someone who watched Knives Out and they gave away a clue on the accent of one of the... And I'm like, does he talk like that? And I'm like, okay, now I really want to watch it. So.
So join us next week for Netflix Month, the last installment of Netflix Month.
Will it be good or will it be bad?
I wonder. Sure. Oh, yeah. So this is The Movie Show on Active FM. If you want to go check us out on social media, we are on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You can just search for Active FM, and we are there. We also are on the World Wide Web, www.activefm.co.za. Yes.
And of course, what would The Movie Show be without being on YouTube?
Without the visual.
Yes, without the visual. Yes. That is, you look for Active TV, ACTIVETV. Mm-hmm. All right. I don't know if it's caps. No. Well, just search for it and then look for Active TV. You'll see it's a TV.
Wow.
I think it's got color bars on it. You'll see color bars in there somewhere. And then just look under the playlist for The Movie Show.
Yes. Yeah. And yeah.
So I guess that's it.
Yeah. For today.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yes. We hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
Yes.
And
don't forget, I'm Ryan.
And I'm Sesh. And this is The Movie
Until
Show.
Until next week.
Yes. Peace out.
Hey guys, listen. Word on the street is that the new Active Worship Inception album is out.
What?
Album is out. You can get it on Spotify and iTunes. Inception, going back to the original.
Christ music is hot music.
Christ music is hot music.